I had a shiver run up my spine. And I'm sort of shocked that anything glass is still in one piece. My, my, thank you, Miss Charlie. Always a blessing. You can open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 22. I'm going to read a good bit of scripture this morning, but speak briefly. This is one of the great stories in scripture. This was the absolute greatest test anybody could ever face. Abraham faced this test and unbelievably passed it. In Genesis chapter 22, beginning with verse 1, "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham." For just a moment, put your name in his place. God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham," and he said, "Here I am." And then God said, "Take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love." Now, right there we'll stop, because you scholars know that Abraham had already fathered a son some 12 or 14 years earlier. His name was Ishmael. So Abraham had already had a son, but yet God is here telling Abraham, "Take Isaac, your only son." Well, was God wrong? No. But Ishmael was born by the flesh, and God is never required to recognize the works of our flesh. So God said, "Take Isaac, your only son, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you." So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." And then he said, "Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" What a powerful question. In fact, that question was asked for thousands of years. Where is the lamb? And the world finally heard the answer to that question. Where is the lamb? When John the Baptist baptized Jesus in the River Jordan and said, "Behold, there is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Isaac asked his father, "Where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And so he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." I want to speak for just a few minutes about something that's often overlooked in this story. In fact, there's so many other magnificent, over-the-top moments in this story that we find it easy to sweep one under the rug, but that's the one I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about the ram in the thicket. I'm a Joe Cocker fan. Now, I say that only because, well, first of all, it's true. And then secondly, just to prove that you can be a pastor and still be cool. Now, I love Joe Cocker. I fell in love with him in Latvia because he's very popular in Europe. Now, of course, here we know some of his songs, "You Are So Beautiful," and "Love Lift Us Up Where We Belong." But that voice of his, you know, it really doesn't have a stellar voice, but yet the soul and the passion and his song choice and the lyrics of his songs. I mean, he just passed away a few months ago. And I love Joe Cocker's music. And he had a brand new album out when he died just a few months ago, his last CD, I suppose. And the title of it is "Fire It Up." So I bought Joe Cocker's CD. And there is one song on that CD, and the title of the song is "I Come in Peace." But the lyrics in that song go like this: "I had a vision, a head-on collision, a revelation that sent me on a mission." Now, that's lyrics in a rock song by Joe Cocker. But when God wants to speak something, he can speak through any source he chooses. And Abraham could say the same thing. "I had a vision, a head-on collision, a revelation that sent me on a mission." And when Abraham got that instruction that tested his faith to the uttermost, he did not question God. He did not delay obedience. He went to bed, got a good night's sleep, and the next verse we read says he rose early the next morning and got everything he would need for the journey, and he went to obey God. Now, I will not gloss over some of these precious nuggets here. I'll just mention them quickly and then get back to the ram, which is the star of the show today. But notice the powerful parallels in this story that's familiar to all of us between Isaac, Abraham's son, and Jesus, God's son. Both Isaac and Jesus were fulfilled promises. Isaac was the long-promised son to Abraham, and Jesus was the long-promised Messiah, God's son. Both Isaac and Jesus were the only son of their father. Both Isaac and Jesus had a 3-day journey experience as a part of their testimony. Of course, Isaac's journey was 3 days from home to Mount Moriah. And Jesus' 3 days were spent in the tomb between death and resurrection. Both had a 3-day season of their life that was their life's mission. Both Isaac and Jesus were accompanied by 2 men. The Bible says Abraham took Isaac and 2 men with him. And of course, Jesus, when he was nailed to the cross, he was between 2 men. Both Isaac and Jesus carried their own wood to their place of death. Isaac carried the wood for his own sacrifice, and Jesus carried the cross And both asked a question of their father. Isaac asked his father Abraham, "Here is the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb?" That was his question. And of course, Jesus asked his father the question, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Now, those are some powerful parallels that deserve to be mentioned at least, although we're headed to talk about the ram in the thicket. Now, historians say that the location of this test, the Old Testament referred to it as Mount Moriah, but in New Testament times, it was known as the Mount of Olives. So Abraham offered his son Isaac in the same geographical location that Jesus would be crucified thousands of years later. Now, I want to quickly mention some things that jump out to us this morning and will minister to all of us, I hope. First of all, the significance of that ram reminds us that the Lord will provide. That was such a powerful statement. Heaven was screaming at that moment when Abraham, in one act, was going to completely and fully obey an instruction from God. When the Lord changed everything and provided a ram, and Abraham was so relieved and delighted and called that place, "The Lord will provide." The Message says it like this: God will see to it. Isn't that great? Isn't it good to know that our God is such a good provider? Regardless of what your need is, you can say it: God's going to see to it. The Lord will provide. Now, in our language, churchology as we know it, it's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. But in the Hebrew language, the language of their day, it was Yahweh Yireh. Yahweh Yireh. And listen, I'm so blessed to think about this. In their day, they knew God's name. They knew He was Yahweh. They knew His name, but they had such a reverent respect for the name of God that they wouldn't even speak it out loud. And even when they wrote His name, Yahweh, it was such a holy, sacred thing, and their level of respect for that name was so high that when they wrote the name Yahweh, they would leave out of the spelling what we would know today in our alphabet as vowels. Just such respect for the name Yahweh. Wouldn't even say it out loud. And even when they wrote it so carefully and respectfully and reverently. Now fast forward to our day when we've been given the name of God's Son. And we've been given permission to speak in His name, Jesus. My, my, we do so little with so much. And our ancestors in the Old Testament did so much with so little. Yahweh was His name. And the first thing we notice about the ram that came as a sign to Abraham. Abraham, I gave you an instruction and you fully obeyed me. I tested your faith to the max and your faith was proven. But Abraham, there were some things I did not tell you that I had in mind when you set out to obey me. It was only after your faith was tested and proven that the ram comes into the picture as a substitute sacrifice. God would say to Abraham, "Oh, I gave you my will and you obeyed it. It was a test and you passed it, but I didn't tell you everything I had in mind when I tested you. I knew there would be a ram." And The Bible says the ram was caught in the thicket. That word caught in Strong's Concordance, it's Strong's number H270. That word caught means the ram was seized and held in possession. Whatever your struggle, whatever the test of your faith is right now, you perhaps are obeying God to the best of your ability on what you've heard God say to you, just like Abraham was. But God's going to show up when you pass your faith test, and He's going to provide a ram for you. Right now, even, you may be in the middle of the test and you've not seen your ram yet. It's because God has seized your ram, and God is holding in His possession your ram until you pass your test. But you can know for sure there is a ram in the thicket. The ram is caught already by God. The ram is entangled and on hold, being held in God's possession, because it's not God's time to reveal that to you yet. So what do you do between now and the time your ram appears? You fully obey God. You don't delay, because delayed obedience is disobedience. But thank God that when this test is over, whatever test you're facing right now, God's going to give you a sign of a ram. You're going to be able to name the place where your feet are when you get your miracle. The Lord will provide. Now, what's going to be required of you between now and the time your ram appears? You'll have to obey God's instructions without knowing why. You're going to have to trust God's provision without knowing how. And you're going to have to trust God's timing without knowing when. Now, God has all those answers, but He does not give them to us all up front. Why? Because it's a test of faith. Now, after Abraham had passed that huge test of his faith, he saw the ram. The ram appeared. The ram was simply there waiting for Abraham to see it. Now, the ram was there all along. God had caught it and had seized it and had held it in His possession until Abraham saw it. You may not see your ram yet. It may be invisible to your natural eye, but God has caught it. He has seized it already. God knows exactly how He's going to deliver you. He knows exactly when. He knows exactly how your deliverance is going to come. You're going to find a way of escape in the middle of this storm. And when you pass your test, your ram is waiting for you. It'll be a sign, a memorial. It'll be something to remind you, oh yes, I heard God would provide, and sure enough, look at that. The Lord has provided. Now, when you see your ram, that means you have passed your test of faith. Do you know what it's like to be tested at a high level? Your faith to be put to the test. I'm telling you, your faith will stand trial. Nobody is exempt. We live by faith. We walk by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We're saved by faith. It's all about our faith in God. Something so critical, so strategic, and central to our spiritual lives as faith, it requires being tested, because our faith can never be proven until it is first tested. Do you know what it's like when God asks you for your Isaac? Imagine. Has God ever given you an instruction, required something of you, and you wanted to say, God, you want me to do what? Have you ever done that? God, you want me to do what? Sure, he has. Because all of us have our faith tested so that it can be proven. Now, while the test is going on, the enemy's at work too, if you let him. The enemy is tempting you to sin, to be disobedient, to give up, to turn back, to backslide. But God is more involved than the enemy. And he's involved in the test of your faith so that you might be proven. Not so that you might sin, but that your faith might be proven. God, you want me to do what? I've heard God ask me to do some radical things. I thought it was radical when he led us from Florence to Spartanburg when we were children, my wife and I. We were married children. And then, you know, God opened a door, and I thought that was around the world from here to Spartanburg. And then heard God speak clearly and instructed us to move to California. And we obeyed that instruction. And I thought, my God, it don't get any worse than that. All the way from the Atlantic to the Pacific. I mean, that's as far as God can ask you to go. Then I heard him instruct us clearly to leave there and come here 29 years ago to start this church, which, look around, what a great church you have become. And I thought, well, okay, God, this is it. And then he asked us to move to what Ronald Reagan had called the evil empire, Russia, the Soviet Union. And, you know, I found this, though. When God asks you to do something, there's a grace that goes with it that makes it easier than it would be. Easier than it would be if there were no grace covering you. I remember when we had announced that we were going to move to Russia for a year and start a church over there, which, by the way, I just got back, preached in that same church 5 weeks ago today. I was looking at the calendar. 5 weeks ago today, I was standing in that pulpit in that church preaching there in Liepāja, Latvia. And I remember, though, 20 plus years ago when we were planning to move over there, I was in the grocery store and a man came up to me and we got to talking, and he said, are you the pastor? I heard there was a pastor in Florence that's moving to Russia. And I said, yes, sir, that's me. And he said, I cannot imagine how difficult that would be. And I said, oh, it's about the easiest thing I have ever done, because God's grace makes a difficult thing so much easier. But now, take it to another level, an entirely different level. What if God were to give you an instruction to sacrifice your only son? Now, that's a test of a high degree, a high degree. But Abraham instantly obeyed God. He passed the test of trusting God even when he didn't understand. And he learned that when God wants to test someone, God's methods don't always make sense. Now, some of you are going through it right now, maybe. A physical problem with your body. Doctors are telling you things you don't want to hear, maybe. Or financially, you're strapped and don't know where your breakthrough is or when you're going to finally get out of this season and start another season with victory up front. Or a relationship, maybe a marriage that's on the rocks and you've done everything you know to do, and God just has not provided a ram for you yet. There's been nothing to appear on the landscape of your life that would be a signal from heaven that, oh, thank you, Lord, that season is over. And there's a new season beginning for me now. What was Abraham thinking? And we can learn a lot from him. He's the father of our faith. What was Abraham thinking? He said, It's important now what we say, our confession, the words we speak. He said, when the two servants that were with him asked him, "Where are you going?" And Abraham said, "You two stay here. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you." We will go yonder and worship. Now look, the first temptation most of us face and fail, if we're not careful, is when we're in the heat of a battle and our faith is being tested at such a high level, we are in no mood to worship. Have you ever been there? Some of you might have come to church this morning in that same situation. "Well, I'm going to church because it's Sunday and I know I'm supposed to go, but I am in no mood to offer God any worship, not with all the hell I'm living in right now." And we make the mistake, if we're not careful, of saying, whether it's intentional or subconsciously, we make the mistake, if we're not careful, of saying, "I will worship God later when he's more worthy. I'm going to withhold my worship until God proves himself strong on my behalf." Abraham didn't do that. He told those men, "You two stay here. The lad and I are going yonder to worship." And then he said, "We will come back to you." What faith there is in that statement. Luther, what a faith-filled statement Abraham made when he knew full well, "I'm going up here to obey God and offer my son as a sacrifice on an altar of worship. God has asked me to do that. He's requiring that of me. And my answer is, here I am." But then he says, "We will go yonder and worship, and the lad and I will come back to you." What was he thinking? I'll tell you what he was thinking. You'll find it in Hebrews 11, 19. It tells us this: Abraham concluded that God was able to raise Isaac up even from the dead. What kind of faith is working in that man's life? So what was in Abraham's mind and spirit when those two employees of his asked him, "Where are you and the lad going?" "We're going up yonder to worship and we will come back to you." When Abraham knew he was going to offer Isaac on the altar of worship as a sacrifice, Abraham knew right then. He had already reached the conclusion that God was going to raise Isaac up from the dead if he had to keep his promise. The promise he had been given. Have you forgotten about the promise you've received? Now revisit the promise God has made you. He's not forgotten. Now he may test you to the uttermost, and part of the test may appear as if you're killing the promise right now if you fully obey God. But we need this kind of faith. We'll conclude right now, present tense. We have reached the conclusion right now in the middle of this thing that if necessary, God will raise him back to life. Boy, that's strong faith in God, isn't it? And then I'm closing with this before we lay hands on you and pray for needs in your life. The ram in the thicket that's been caught and seized and has been held in possession by God for the moment of revealing signals a new season in your life that begins with victory. Now, can you imagine the difference in Abraham's mind and in his spirit? The difference when he came down from that mountain. The ram had been provided. The Lord provided the sacrifice. And he was able to bring his son Isaac back alive with him. Don't you know there was a shout in his step that was not there when he was on the way up that mountain? Imagine a 3-day journey. And that was a season. Hey, I've had seasons, many seasons. God changes the times and the seasons. God never changes his will, but from one season to another, he will reveal his will in greater measure. God will only tell you what you need to know right now when you need to know it. And he may not tell you all that. I'll give you some examples. Well, the Lord asked us to move to California, and I know he was in it. And so we did. And as soon as I got out there, I thought, oh, my Lord, I'm going to stay here the rest of my life. I mean, it was perfect weather. Or, well, more perfect than here, usually. And we got there in February. I mean, we drove through snow 5 days. But the last day, we got up in snow and drove the rest of the way. When we got to our city in California, it was like heaven. Oranges and lemons hanging on the tree in our yard out there. I went straight to the garden and picked an orange and peeled it right there in February. And I looked over there, there's a big bear with snow on the top of the mountain. Well, and it was perfect weather right here, oranges growing in the yard. But right over there, I could still see it as snow on the top of that mountain. Right there. I thought, this is as close to heaven as I'll find. I'm staying here for the rest of my life. See, God only showed me the part I needed right then. God only shows us what he wants us to see right now in this season. But then another season will come. He will change the seasons. And the new season will hold for us the reward of faithfulness that carries over from the previous season. So that was only, I thought it was for life, but it was only a year. And then he revealed a greater measure of his will for my life. When I passed that test, he revealed a greater measure. He didn't change his will. He just revealed more of it. He does that from one season to the other. Then all of us remember this. If you've been in the church for 15 years, you remember we were down here on House Springs Road. And we got a word from our bishop. It was just a practical word. It didn't come cloaked with a yay, yay or anything like that. It was just a practical word of wisdom from our bishop. It said, before you build any more buildings down there, which was our plan at the time, that we might want to consider a better location. And so that led us to looking for property on Irby Street here. And you know the story. We finally wound up feeling like we were obeying God, buying 21 acres right down here. Not where we are now, but a mile this way. And Walmart's down there now. Well, we fully believed we had heard from God to buy that property. Our plan was to pay a little bit on the dirt for 5 years and then start building. And that's what we heard from God. We even put a sign up, Future Site, Abundant Life Church. We had heard that word from God, and we did. But a few months later, seasons changed. God didn't change his mind. He led us to that place. But then when the seasons changed, he revealed a greater measure of his will. And God sent Walmart our way to buy that property down there, to give us the financial wherewithal to begin building immediately here on this property. Now, did God change his will? No. No. He gave us enough of his will, all we needed for a test to see if we would obey him. And then when we proved that we would obey God, and it was a nightmare to do that. I mean, I'm fast forwarding through 10 months of negotiations and lawyers meetings and all. I mean, we had to put 3 properties together to get that deal down there. We thought we were doing it for us. No, we were doing it for Walmart. Walmart marched right into Florence and had it all done for them. They just paid the money for it. And so God didn't change his will. What he did is he revealed enough of it in that season to see if we would obey him and qualify for a greater blessing in the next season. And we did. And so then after we proved we would obey, and it took getting out the boat and walking on water, But after our faith was tested and proven at that level, God didn't change his mind and said, no, I've changed my mind. I don't want you having that property. I wasn't even in that. No, that wasn't the case at all. He said, now that you've obeyed me, you've followed my instruction at this level, I'm going to reveal a greater measure of my will. What you were thinking when you set out to obey me is just a small part of what I had in mind. God said, I had much more in mind. I just didn't tell you all of it then. So we need to realize even right now, even from this story with Abraham, God sees the full picture. He's got much more in mind than what he's revealed to us. This test is just one season. We're going to pass this test and be proven faithful in this season. And then God will change seasons. The next one will begin with victory. And God's going to reveal a greater measure of his will at the next season. Abraham walked up that mountain carrying his son by the hand, fire in one hand, Isaac carrying the wood on his back that would be laid on the altar and set on fire for his father to sacrifice his life on that altar of worship. That's how Abraham walked up that mountain. He did not know that while he was walking up one side of the mountain, God had a ram walking up the other side that was going to show up and change everything and allow Abraham and Isaac to come back down that mountain alive with their test, with their faith tested and proven. And that's what he's after for each of us. Would you stand, please? Everybody.